turned on yet. Thomas, get it for me. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Some of these prayer requests and some of the needs that you've heard tonight, to go along with the testimonies of praise. And what I'd like for y'all to do, if you would, turn to 1 Timothy. We're going to go to chapter number 2. And I know this scripture is so meaningful. I had sections of it highlighted, and then I highlighted some more tonight as we were preparing. But we're going to go to 1 Timothy chapter number 2. Praise the Lord. Thank you for standing for the reading of His Word. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved, to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. It's actually through, I went through 6, 1 through 6. Let's all just bow our head, if you will, as we just thank the Lord. Dear Lord, most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, again, we do praise You tonight. Lord, we thank You again for the reading of Your Word, dear Lord, for allowing us to have the freedom to open up Your Word whenever we can, and, dear Lord, to read it and to understand. And we thank You for this, for this bread that You've given us, this bread of truth. Dear Lord, as we open this service tonight, dear Lord, I ask that You would just anoint Your messenger. And, dear Lord, let Your Holy Spirit just flow amongst each and every one of us. Lord, we'll give You all the glory and all the honor in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 You may be seated if you can. If you're sitting close enough to somebody, turn around and tell somebody Jesus loves them. Amen. Amen. Yes, He does. Like I said, I hope everyone's doing well. I'm very honored to be up here tonight. I was talking to Brother Chris, I think it was a month or so ago, when I had a chance, and I saw him come in. I'd made the statement that normally when you're doing that last preparation, and I plan to do some stuff at lunch or whatever, which normally my lunch is normally at my desk, I have probably had so many interruptions today that, to be honest with you, what the message the Lord gave me, I'm glad I know now He knew what my day today would be like as I prepared for my preparation, because I have an interesting title of the message tonight. And as we talk about prayer and we talk about all the prayer requests that's going out tonight to go along with the praise, and that's where this in Timothy, you know, as Paul was leading Timothy and guiding him and in his letters and everything, he talked about exhortation of prayer. And he talked about so many things. But if you think about it, if you read in the very beginning, exhortation thereof, that first of all, supplications, which is a petition or a prayer. Prayers, intercessions. And we all hear of intercessory prayer, haven't we? And that's where we stand in the gap for someone else, or we're praying for someone. And then he talks about giving of thanks be made for what? For all men. And that's what he was telling Timothy, and as he was preparing for his ministry and guiding him. And this is what God tells us in His Word, that we will stand in supplication and intercessions and giving thanks to all men. And the reason I wanted to do that first before I actually gave you the title, and this is not a jokey title. Let me give you how I got it first. I need to tell you this part so you'll know where my heart is. This is how I know God. He's reminded me tonight that He knew way before today what my Wednesday was going to be like. Tuesday morning, we do an annual breakfast around Christmas time at work. And for some reason, I didn't make a mistake. I told him I make a pretty mean biscuit. At least that's according to Miss Elaine. So I've started doing it the last few years, and that's the main thing. They build the breakfast around the biscuits. You know, there's country ham and all, but they call it a biscuit breakfast. Well, I was trying to get some sleep. I knew I had to get up early, and but the Lord woke me up a lot earlier. About 1 o'clock, I started waking up, and then about 1:30, I saw 1:45. Elaine had the alarm set for me at 2:45, so I could get up and get the oven turned on and get started. I'd set everything out. So finally, about 2:30, 2:20, I finally just got up. And I started praying and asking God, got myself ready, got the oven turned on, and thank goodness my bride had the coffee pot. All I had to hit was the go button, and it would start brewing. But I had to make, didn't have to, but I do it because I like to, but just, you know, I had about 80 biscuits is what we make, so it's multiple sheets. And Elaine's been sick, as y'all know, and God's blessed her to have her here tonight, blessed me to have her here tonight. But I got to a point where flour hands, you know, I've already got flour all over half the kitchen. You know, you do your biscuits for 6 minutes, then you turn them, and then I turn them another five, and then they got to come out. You got to get them out of the hot pan and all that kind of stuff. I finally had to slip back at Elaine, can you give me a hand? And during this time, I'd already turned on my some gospel. I was listening to some preaching that I like to keep up on. There's a pastor, we all know him, Brother Wynn, out of Riceville, Tennessee. I love to hear him preach. And I'd already been preached to. And as the morning went along and we're making these biscuits and, you know, just one pan after the other, and after a while it started flowing, kind of like an assembly line, Elaine doing her part. And then as soon as she'd go in there to try to sit down because she wasn't feeling that good, the timer would go off and she'd have to come help me. But he gave me, as I was thinking about those biscuits, the title of the message came to me as plain as if someone had said it to me. And it was, pray for the biscuits. And at first, you know, my mind and the Lord's mind were in a different place. I'm going, okay. But, you know, I work with a diverse group of people. We had some of our salesmen drop by. We've got a few customers there. Our office is built around food. There's a kitchen there. And one of the owners, she loves to serve people. And so he gave me this message, and it was prayer. And all I've heard tonight is prayer. That's why I needed to get into this message. Their needs, their situations. But pray for the biscuits. You know, you could snicker at that. But if you understood what he told me, each and every biscuit that was served was offered up to someone. The best part is most of them didn't know anybody was praying for them. But each biscuit, it's no different than Brother Eddie testified the other night about every pew being anointed, every parking spot, every door jamb, everything. And maybe that's where it was because he just mentioned it the other week at one of his recent messages. But it's pray for the biscuits. Very simple title. So my mind's going crazy, and Elaine has no idea what I'm going on. She's just kind of a, truthfully, baby, I love you. But she was just being a robot. She felt so poorly. Now, she cleaned her, you know, she's been very sanitary with everything she's helping me do. She had her little tongs. You know me, I'm grabbing, throwing. And it went very well, the breakfast. Some salesmen came, but there's been a lot of, we're doing a new computer system, and it's kind of some tension, and we've got some unhappy people. You know, there are people that, if they heard what happened to Brandon today, would look differently at their job, I believe, today. And the thing that I wanted to bring out, as I started looking up about prayer, was intercessory prayer kept coming back into my mind. And see, I'm not praying for people, and we don't pray for people that need something. We know about health, we know about jobs, we know about roof over their head, we know about food in their stomach. But there's something that, this was given to me today, but it says in Philippians 2, 3, and 4, it says, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but you pray with humility of mind and regard one another as more important than yourself. Do not merely look out for your own personal interest, but also for the interest of others. That's what true prayer is. That's true intercessory prayer. That's what true selfishness in our prayer for other people. You know, I'm as guilty, and I'll stand there and testify and say this to y'all. I pray for me a lot of times. Lord, I need help, or I need this, or forgive me, I've stumbled again. And I have no problem with redemptive prayers. I have no problem going back to the Lord. But am I being selfish or selflessness? Am I being conceited? No, my ego, I don't want to change you, Sister Brenda, to be like me. But what my prayer would be is that you be what God wants you to be. And that your soul is right. That you have an eternal home that you'll never see. any problems again once he calls you home. That's what our prayer is. If I show it through my example, okay, we serve food. I know Sister Misty, she sits back there, and I know them feeding the hungry, and I know all the other mission team that's gone forward. That is selfishness of our giving. We're not giving because we expect something back from God. Hopefully we give because our heart says, I want to give. I want to help. When people in here ask for prayer, I'll be honest with you, I would almost need to jot down everything, but I know, thank goodness, God knows my heart. And when I say, I remember Brother Keith asked for prayer, or Brother Thomas, or whomever, I might not remember all the details, but I know God does, and he hears our cries. As we pray for one another, there's scripture here as we read this in Timothy. Please read this again. Exhort thyself that first of all, supplications, comma, prayers, comma, intercessions, comma, and giving of thanks be made for all men. And then where does it go? For kings, for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. What a powerful, powerful prayer for someone. Okay, we're going to, I know, we need healing. You know, I ask for my family. There's decisions being made. My family's no different than anybody else's. We've all got issues. We've all got problems. And I hate to say it, there's some locked closets in my family, and I know other families too. There are things that only God knows in that person that's, you know, that whether they're behind it is, whether it's addiction or whether it's past history, whether it's, just any type of evil, where it's jealousy and strife and all the things that come forward, or basically just healing. You know, there's situations going forward. But as each of those biscuits was handed out, I looked at them again this morning. No, it was yesterday. There was a few left. The guys were back in there heating them back up. I don't know, I kind of snickered when I thought of that title too. You know, those biscuits are prayed for. You know, I thank God for prayers. It doesn't mean that I did anything special. It just means that God heard my prayer. And I said, for anyone that touches these, to feel his presence, to feel a joy and a peace that maybe they've never felt, to put a smile where a frown is, to lift their head up where it might be down low, to put a little jingle in their walk, all the little commercial things that we want to say. You know, I used to love the Tang commercials. I like Tang. That's for some reason. But as you'd watch him stir that stuff up and it turn his arms, I don't know, I like Tang. I like tangerines and that kind of flavor. But if that put a smile on my face, it's just like when you sit down to, Miss Elaine finally got to eat something the other night, and I heard her telling Steve, and she said scrambled eggs and cheese grits all mixed together was the best thing she'd eaten because she tasted it for the first time in a week. But that's God. He just blesses us so much. But let me talk about this for a minute. Now, I'm getting a little more emotional than what I thought I would. See, I don't want to say when I say I'm praying for a group, I'm not saying I'm judging them. I don't know their heart. God is the judge. But I'm praying for their soul. I'm praying for their life. I'm praying for everything that they have. I want to be an example. I don't want to be one of those that's only a, you know, they see my attitude and they see me get upset or, you know, going around with a long face. You know, a smile brings joy to so many places. I heard something today, and this is not original. I don't even know who wrote it. But it talks about my speech and my direction that I go to people. And this has been on my mind all day long. This is even more so, well, as much as the message. It really has nothing to do with the message, but I heard something today, and if this means anything to y'all, just let it sink in. It says, taste your words before you speak them. And I don't know, my heart, my mind about prayer and wanting to stand in the gap for other people, taste your words before you speak them. Is your words going to bring joy, a sweet flavor? Or is it sour and bitter? How can I be? Listen, it says, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourself. do not merely look out for your own personal interest, but also for the interest of others. I didn't make those biscuits to get bragged on. It just kind of, it's fun, you know. It's like chicken and dumplings. Everybody wants to know where Miss Gail's chicken and dumplings are. And we enjoy them so much. It's we look forward to it. And that's not all we think of Miss Gail. But that's just part of what I'm talking about in this, the different things. But you know, how can you pray for other people? What can we do? And I'm talking about general terms now. I know we're going to pray for illness. We're going to pray for sickness, for people to be free from addiction. But we see, we don't know what they're carrying on the inside. Brother Keith and I have talked, and I've got another friend that has come out of a really horrible situation to where he was pretty much lost. And thank goodness to God, he was able to get straightened out. It wasn't him, it was God. But he told me that there see people in every walk of life that you would never know they're addicted or have a problem. Right, Brother Keith? You would never know it. So how do I pray for those people? I'm not judging them. I'm just praying for them to find that peace. But there's another way we can pray for others. And this is something that I took out of some reading I'd done. We can pray for wisdom and power for those individuals. Pray also that the eye of your heart may be enlightened in order for you, that you may know the hope of which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparability, great power for us. That's wisdom and power you could pray for someone. Strength and knowledge of God's love. In Ephesians, it talks about that I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith. And I pray that you be rooted, established in love, that you may have power together with all the saints to, listen to this, to grasp the whole wide and long, to grasp how wide, how long, and how high and deep is the love of Christ. I messed that all up, didn't I? And it says to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. I've heard that statement many times out of Ephesians. So I wanted to use that tonight. Okay, then we can also pray for discernment, that we may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless. One that I've prayed many times is for spiritual understanding and knowing God's will. That's a powerful prayer, that I would have spiritual understanding and I would know what God's will is in my life. Or for each of you, that you will know what God's will is in your life, and that you'll feel important, that you won't feel like you're second fiddle. You won't feel like, well, I'm nobody. You don't realize that by being here tonight, it lifts up the Lord. By you dedicating and giving up your Wednesday night during this busy, busy time of year with all the hustle and bustle back and forth, the shopping, the cooking, the preparing, the everything that goes on. But you've given this time for God. Yes, it means so much to the church of attendance and our you know, to our pastor, that we support him and that we stand strong behind him. But also it gives us a spiritual understanding that, Lord, out of all you've done for me, what is an hour, hour and a half on a Wednesday night? I mean, what is it? It's nothing. I remember when Brother Eddie challenged us all to write down our day and our schedule. I don't know if y'all remember this. It was a long time ago when he had the board out. Write down your days. And at the end of the week, calculate how much time you're actually spending in church or reading the Bible or in prayer. That intercessory prayer that we do is not just, Lord, bless them, but it needs a direction. And then we can get all into a prayer study, and I would love to do that if anybody wants to. They either come to my house or we can sit down and do it, because it's something I'm studying. But there's a lot more to prayer. It's a personal conversation between you and God. So we have spiritual understanding and knowing God's will. Then we got steadfastness. May the Lord direct your hearts into God's love and Christ's perseverance. Boldness in sharing his faith. In Philemon, it says, I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you will have full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. That's powerful, isn't it? That is so powerful. You know, I write down so many things and then I try to get back and forth, but I'll just read you a couple. And I'm not going to keep you long tonight. This is not a long shouting message, but this is a message that's heavy in my heart. There was no particular prayer. And I know when the pews were anointed, I know when the doorposts were anointed here, the parking lot, the building, everything that was done. I know when we all went over to the new children's church and we anointed it. It was just like the trailer that was leaving for West Virginia the other night, for safety, for protection, for each and every hand that comes and touches it, that they'll feel the love of the Lord, for every stocking given out, that they'll feel the peace, just like we do with the shoeboxes. For every child that opens it, they'll feel that joy, not just for the material things, but they'll know the love of God. And they know that through Jesus Christ and His love for us has allowed us that freedom to come directly and boldly to Him through the throne of grace. And it's so powerful. And I know y'all are praying church, and I know we've heard, as I said, many prayer requests. But listen to this. And these are just a few, and I'm not going to try to read them all. But in Romans, it says, in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groaning too deep for words, that He who searches the heart knows that the mind of the Spirit is, because He intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. That's speaking truth. In Matthew it says, but I say to you, this is hard, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. I could say it's hard. That anger and wrath needs to be taken away. And when we pray for our enemies or those that persecute us, we have to humbly come before the Lord and pray for them. And also, there are times I've had to pray first, Lord, clear my heart and my mind. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. That's in Luke. And even in, what did Jesus say? Is that not the best example of a prayer? But Jesus was saying, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. And they cast lots and divided His garments amongst themselves, even as He was praying for them and asking for them. That's that same prayer. Lord, forgive them, because they don't know what they're doing. And in Acts, it says, then falling on his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. Having said this, he fell asleep. That's Stephen when he was being stoned. And then in Hebrews, brethren, pray for us. They're actually asking the disciples, and as they were going forward, they were asking for prayer. And again, pray for us, for we're sure that we have a good conscience, desiring to conduct ourselves honorably in all things. And I urge you all the more to do this, so that I may be restored to you the sooner, as Paul wrote. And of course, we all know in powerful message, it says, if anyone among you is sick, then he must call on the elders of the church, and they are to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will restore one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, they will be forgiven him. Therefore, confess your sins one to another. Pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. Okay. Thank the Lord for His word. Let's talk about these biscuits. They're nothing special. If people want to know the ingredients, there's not much to them. And I know you ladies are probably all, hopefully you guys have learned biscuits. My wife's been married to me long enough. She said, if you want biscuits every weekend, let me show you how to make them. And now, I was always the breakfast guy anyway. My dad always cooked breakfast for the family when we were home on a Saturday morning. That's something I've kind of started doing. But they were just flour, salt, a little vegetable oil, and some milk. That's all that's in them. But you know, our prayer life as we go to the Lord and we call on the name of Jesus, it seems so simple, doesn't it? He says, if you ask, and you ask with a pure heart, and if it is His will, you'll have everything. All He's asking us tonight, in this message tonight, is to remember each and every one, our brothers and sisters, but also those that mistreat us, also those that persecute us, also that those that are in authority, those who are in power of this great land, this community, our mothers, our fathers, our children, our grandchildren, our neighbors. We can pray for strength. I just went over a few of them. I know I went fast. But I just want you to feel the way the Lord's laid this message in my heart. You're not being judgmental if you're in the Lord's will. You're not judging. You're not being haughty. You're not saying, I'm better than you, so I expect you to, you know. That's not what we're talking about. I'm talking about prayer closet praying. I'm talking about that time. And I know each of us could probably testify. And we want to thank whoever it was that was praying for me. You know, something brought us to this point that you're willing to come out on a Wednesday night. Someone prayed for us. It could be a mama, daddy, grandmama, grandpa. It could be somebody that served you a biscuit. Somebody prayed for you. And they're praying for you now. I don't know how many times the Lord shut a door to direct me in another direction because somebody prayed for me. He loves you. But I want you to know how much you're loved by the Lord. And by us being obedient and living that life that we talked about, as He said, in number 2, it says, for kings and for all that are in authority, listen to this though, that we, these are the strong words, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Lord, forgive me for the times that I've strayed. I want to live that in godliness and honesty. I don't want anyone to think that I'm any better than them. All I want to do is be there to share, to help, and to pray for others. I know that each and every one of us had that quiet time that you felt like your message wasn't, your prayer wasn't getting through. Know that it is. But if we sincerely come to the Lord in our prayer, fervent prayer, and then we ask the Lord to guide us and to direct us and to give us the words. He said He'd give us utterance. He would give us those words. We may not know what to pray. And what I put down tonight is nothing but a guideline to me. These are notes that I made and some of the reading, and I've only had a couple of nights. Well, I had a long night. You know, it was funny, after I'd woke up that early and I pulled out my Bible and I went in there and sat down before I started getting the stuff out for the biscuits and all, and it all flowed so smooth. You would think, you know, I get up at 4:15 is when the alarm goes off every morning, so I'm kind of used to getting up early. But normally I don't get up around 1-ish and 2-ish. That's, you know, those are only days when you're going on vacation or something like that. But when God wakes you up, or you just wake up in the middle of the night and the Lord's on your mind, or someone's name's on your mind, I've always been felt that that person needed prayer. May not be anything going on, but they needed prayer or your thoughts. And that's what God wants us to do. So I don't want you to, I still think about the pigeons and about that. I don't want to soar with the eagles and not want to be down around the pigeons. So I hope that anytime we make biscuits at our house, and we have used frozen ones before, but it's not the same. But every time we butter a biscuit or handle a biscuit, we think about prayer. And that's what God's given me. May not mean anything to you, but this message does. His word is truth in everything that He does. And there's so many places here, and there's so many things that I just feel that the Lord has given me. I got so much scripture. I tell you, I've got things written down everywhere, so y'all have to forgive me. But I still want y'all to remember this in Philippians. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourself. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interest of others. And I read that again tonight because as we're praying for others, God knows what they need. And I don't want you to feel like if you pray for a group or a situation, it's always amazed me to hear someone that's actually in a courtroom being able to tell someone that did a horrible crime against their family or someone they love, pray for them or tell them they forgive them or tell them God has given them the strength to say that. And that only comes from prayer and listening to the Lord. Amen? Amen. Well, I love y'all tonight. I'm not going to keep you long. As I said, I thank you for the opportunity. Thank you for your attentiveness. I have got things I'm going to get home and I'm going to read and say, oh, yeah, oh, yeah. But I don't want you to forget one thing before we close. And I wrote this at the end. I'm going to say it again. I said it just a minute ago. Always never feel alone and know that someone's praying for you. Whether it be your church family, it may be someone you meet. But even when we see folks and we know they're going through a situation where we really don't know what their troubles are or what their afflictions or what their needs are. So as we pray, let the Lord just stay, you know, even if it's just whatever it is that we pray. Amen? Amen. Let's all stand tonight. Praise the Lord. I thank you for your time. I thank you for your attentiveness. Yes, sir. Absolutely. Come on up, brother. You may see one of my notes that I did.
I won't take much of y'all's time, but I want, if anyone in here knows somebody who has struggled with an addiction, any kind of addiction, raise your hand. That's everybody in here. I wanna stand in. Do I need this?
Yeah, just a little bit.
Okay.
There's a few of them.
I want to stand in for those people tonight, but also my brother, my oldest brother, he had a surgery on his arm about a year ago, and they gave him pain medication. He never had taken any pain medication. He was strictly against it. My parents were against it. And it ran real deep in my family, alcoholism and drug addiction. Skipped my parents. I fell into it. Neither one of my older brothers did, but now he's, I talked to my mom yesterday, and he's having to go back for another surgery because of something, I don't know what, but she said that he had came and got some of my dad's prescription medicine from when he's had kidney stones, and they'll give them, but he won't take them, and he's came down there, and he's got those. And I went to his house two nights ago, and he had made a comment about taking one of the pain medications and it not doing anything to him. And so I know the road he's going down right now is going to be, it's tough. It is, and he's hard-headed. If you try to talk to him about it, he don't want to listen to you about it. So I'm just going to pray that God heals his shoulder and that he don't have to take them, because I know he's getting more dependent on these things. I can see it just the way he acts, and he'll call and he'll want to talk more, and I just kind of know what to look for. And so I just want to stand in him. If I get the church to pray. Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. I will.
Absolutely. And if you have any other prayer requests tonight too, just come on forward if you'd like to join us. And if not, if you feel comfortable.